Welcome to Victory Christian Center of Rancho Mirage, California. We are a house of mercy and a church for the harvest, shaking the desert with the power and the love of God, taking Jesus to the world from the Coachella Valley. We pray that the word that you are about to listen to will increase and strengthen your faith. Enjoy today's message. Victorious, he lay victorious, over sin, over death, over wrong, over us. Victorious, he lay victorious.
Yeah, this is my Bible, and this is God speaking to me. I am who the Bible says I am. I have what God's word says I have. And I can do what the scriptures say I can do. Okay, last week we went to 2 Peter, if you would turn there with me, 2 Peter chapter 1. And we talked about the fact, and some of you weren't here, so I have to tell you again, you have superpower. You have superpower, and all the superpower movies you know, if you had a superpower, what would you want it to be? And my desire is to have a superpower to make slower traffic get right.
Amen.
Just ease on over there into your lane, and you can look around and talk on your phone or whatever you're doing over there, and let us important people who have places to go get past you. That would be my superpower that I would want. But God's given us a superpower, in all seriousness, God's given us a superpower to be a blessing and to help others and to bring hope and healing and deliverance and to go where Jesus would go. We have the superpower to love people as he would love them, to touch them and to pray for them and see signs and wonders and miracles because of the power that is within us. And we talked last week about how excited Jesus was about the Holy Spirit's ministry to believers. And he particularly spoke to those that he had hand chosen and hand trained and walked with and worked with activated them and mobilized them. And he said, now you're sad because I'm about to go away, and knowing that his death was impending. And you're sad, but it's actually better for you. It's expedient for you if I do go away, because if I do, I'm going to send another comforter. Now, Jesus, of course, comforted his disciples when he was here. But he said, I'm going to send another comforter, the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he's going to empower you. And Jesus explaining in John's gospel, particularly the 14, 15, 16 in there, gives a great explanation of the Holy Spirit's ministry. He'll show you things to come. I know I talk about this a lot, but it's so important for us to be reminded about how willing the Holy Spirit is to walk with us and talk with us and guide us, and that the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit aren't just for the conference or over at Azusa when there's 100,000 people in the Colosseum, as there was yesterday or thereabouts. It's for when your kids are acting up, or you're having a rough patch in your relationship, or whatever that looks like. That's when the Holy Spirit also wants to move, and the fruit of the Spirit is called for. And sometimes we wait for that special, supernatural, magical moment for the Lord to move, and he wants to move in the everydayness of our lives. That's why this conference coming up starting next week, we're going to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit in the life of the believer, and then we're going to have a demonstration of God's power and the gifts of the Spirit, but we want that for the everydayness of our lives. And so that's what Jesus told his disciples. He said, the Holy Spirit's going to show you things to come. The Holy Spirit's going to bring things to your remembrance. The Holy Spirit is going to lead you into truth, guide you into truth. The Holy Spirit's going to empower you. And all that the Holy Spirit wants to do through us, we need to be ready and available. And I'm praying for a release of God's people, that we will really, as a church, begin to walk in a greater release of heaven through us. Let me just say this, if you don't hear anything else. God has placed gifts and graces and anointing and power within you that he wants to get out. He didn't put it in there so you can carry it around and bottle it up. It's like the Phyllis said, some people's attitude about finances is get all you can all you get, and guard the can closely. But that's just clogging the flow, you know? And so God's put things in us. We have treasure in this earthen vessel. And we look at ourselves sometimes and we think, well, I'm looking at this earthen vessel and, man, I'm kind of a goofus spiritually. Who am I? Why would God want to use me? And so we're so focused on the earthen vessel that we forget that in this earthen vessel, God resides. His power resides. His compassion, his healing virtue. God resides within us. And it's so vastly vital that we remember that God is not relegated any longer to a certain room in a certain building in a certain city. The Holy of Holies in the temple in Jerusalem. That when Jesus died on the cross, the temple veil was torn from top to bottom. And God is no longer in a box. He lives and walks in you and in me. Are you with me? So important for us to really grasp that and then walk in it. Because let's be honest, probably all of us in this room missed an opportunity this week that the Lord supernaturally coordinated. And someone was there, and we were there, and we were too tired, or we were afraid of rejection, or self-doubt, or we're so focused on the earthen vessel, or whatever, we were preoccupied, or pressures of life, or whatever it was, caused us to miss an opportunity. So I don't want to miss opportunities. I don't want us to miss opportunities. If we're crying out for the harvest, it's only right that we're ready to be harvesters. And that doesn't mean you have to, you know, go stand on a soapbox on a corner and scream, you know, what. This means loving people right where they are and ministering. And if you want to know how to do that, read the Gospels and just see how Jesus did it. And he always had good news. He always had uplifting words and hope. The only time Jesus got frustrated and turned over the tables in the temple and all that, took a whip and whipped people out of the room, was religious people. Yep. Self-righteous people.
Right.
Not just people.
Right.
It was religious people who were really creating a separation between the hurting people and God because they were so rejecting of people. Anyway, so let me get here to 2 Peter chapter 1. And 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 1. That seems like a good place to start to me. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. I like those words, don't you? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And as we increase in our knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, grace and peace is multiplied unto us. It is important that we hear good news because the message of the New Testament, the message this side of the cross is good news, is mercy. It's a message of love. According, verse 3, according as his divine power. Now here's what I want you to see this verse because this is where God talks about the superpower that has been given to us. According as his divine power has given, not might give, possibly will give, if you beg long enough, if you're a good Christian and you polish yourself up really nicely, possibly he will dispense a little bit. No, he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge, there it is again, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. God has given you and me all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowledge. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by those promises we might be partakers of the divine nature. There it is, Superman. Get your cape on, baby. Lay that Clark Kent self aside and walk in that divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, but that he that lacks these things is blind and can't see afar off. We talked about this last week. Superman could see problems afar off. And when we need to have that eternal perspective, and we need to be heavenly minded, and because those things are eternal, and this stuff that kind of mills around today is temporary, but we want to focus on the eternal. So he that lacks these things is blind, can't see afar off, and is forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. And for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent. Now, here I wanted to, because this is part two. This is called You Have Superpower, part two. So here's what Peter said. I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it's appropriate, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. So I want to remind you again that you have superpower. Now, I want you to turn with me, and we're going to come back to this, so you can hold your place there if you want to. We're going to come back to this 2 Peter. But I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Because it's important for us to understand that certain things have been given to us. And the other day I found a box. We were sorting through some stuff at the office. And it had someone's name on it that used to live here. And so I called them and I said, I think there's a box of your stuff here. And they were so excited. They wanted to know what's in the box of stuff that we had found. So if I found a box at the office with your name on it, and I called you and said, hey, there's a box full. I haven't looked in it, but there's a box, and it appears to be your stuff. How many of you want to know what's in there? Yeah. Hey, what's cool? Or if you were named in someone's will because they loved you and cared about you, they left something to you, you want to know what did I get? And so we talked about how we... We'll come back to that. Let's read here in Ephesians. So important to know what we have, what our inheritance is, what has been left to us, what do we possess? What is the box with our name on it involve? And so Ephesians chapter 1, and let's read here. Paul, verse 1, an apostle of Jesus Christ. We've just been reading from Peter's epistle, but here's Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints that are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So see, he mentions us in there too. Written to the Ephesians and to the faithful in Christ. That's just to us. Grace be to you, and peace from our God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to these words now, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And we read Peter said he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, I think we'd probably have a lot less prayer effort if we just reminded ourselves of what is already ours. Nothing wrong with praying, because the scriptures tells us to, with thanksgiving, to make our requests known to God. But if we would just walk in a greater awareness of what's already our inheritance. We've all heard stories of people who died of malnutrition with hundreds of thousands of dollars stuffed in their mattress.
Right. Yes.
And they're sleeping on money that could be used to buy nutritious food to sustain them, but they are malnourished because they don't tap into what has already been given to them. And it happens. I've read stories. I didn't bring an account today. But many times over the years, I've read stories about people who died or froze to death because they wouldn't turn the electricity on and had millions of dollars in the bank. And so sometimes that's how we live as believers.
Yes.
We don't spend our inheritance. And here's the good news. If we're spending that heavenly treasure to purchase peace for ourselves or to have confidence to move on even in the toughest of times, if we don't do that, it's an endless supply. So you might as well spend what God's given you, because once you spend it, there's going to be a multiplication of it back into your life anyway. We're the redeemed of the Lord. You are forgiven. People walk in this sin consciousness when God doesn't even remember it anymore. And people beat themselves up because of, I've been there, because of their past or some stupid thing they've done. And they beat themselves and they beat themselves and they flog themselves and they beat themselves up when your inheritance is, all that's forgiven. Once you've repented of that, it is in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be recalled against you again. God, when you bring it up, he said, I don't know what they're talking about. It's under the blood. It's covered by the blood. All I see is the blood of Jesus, my son, that cleanses them from all unrighteousness. And so we don't spend that inheritance. Are you with me? And we live sometimes like spiritual paupers when we've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness, and every spiritual blessing in heavenly places is ours. We've been blessed with it. You have superpowers, and we need to walk in our superpower. All right, let's read on in verse 15 in this same passage. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints. I want to be famous for love, don't you? This is a side thought right here. Paul said, I've heard about your faith and I've heard about your love. I don't want to be known for my cantankerousness. I've heard about your faith and I've heard about your love for all the saints. I cease not, Paul says, I don't cease to make mention, to give thanks for you and to make mention of you in my prayers. I'm praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Just keep listening to those words Peter said several times. Paul keeps saying it, the knowledge of him, the knowledge of him, the knowledge of him, the knowledge of him. You ever been around people who have knowledge of religious stuff, but they have no knowledge of him? They can argue a theological argument, but they don't have a knowledge of him. You know, I've been to seminary and I've met those people. They can argue and they've got, you know, they've got factual data, but they have no knowledge of him. Yeah. It sounds, when they argue, it sounds like, as Brother Schambach used to say, dried peas on a buck hide. There's not much life in it. Knowledge of him. Verse 18. I'm sorry, I keep stopping here. That the eyes of your, he said, I'm praying for you now, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you will know what is the hope of his calling, and that you will know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So he's just saying, I'm praying that your eyes will open up. You ever have little puppies and their eyes aren't open yet? And I remember, you know, as a kid, oh, their eyes aren't open yet. Their eyes aren't open yet. And those are Baptist puppies. Once their eyes are open, they're Pentecostals. He said, I'm praying that your eyes will be open so that you can know what is yours, that you can know your inheritance in Christ. And verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world that is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We are his body, the fullness of him. And when we walk on this earth, it's Jesus showing up. You have superpower. It's important for us to know what is our inheritance and what is ours. And let's conclude here. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3, it says, he has given, he has given, he has given, he has given. We need to know what has been, we need to know our inheritance. And then he says in verse 4, whereby are given unto us. So there's this great, big, wonderful gift. And then there's the exceeding great and precious promises, that by those promises we can be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So how we partake is through knowledge and by exceeding great and precious promises. So now let's go back to the illustration of you. You have inherited something, one of your loved ones has left in their will something for you. And you know, you might be interested in reading the whole will, and sometimes there's, you know, kind of boilerplate language and of sound mind and blah, 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 you know, those kinds of things. And you might read all that, but probably you're going to be most interested in the exceeding great and precious promises for you.
Yeah.
Where's my name? What's it say for me? What's my inheritance? I want to know about the exceeding great and precious promises for me. Now, I'm glad Uncle Bud got the boat. Good for Uncle Bud. What's here for me? What are the exceeding great and precious promises for me? And so I think it is important for us, and I don't know if any of you did last week, but we have books in the bookstore of just God's promises. In fact, Pastors Craig and Pat Hayes, we're part of our church, and we're on staff with Dr. Price for many, many years, Fred Price. She helped compile one of those, and we have it, I believe, in our bookstore. It's a blue promise book. It's, I think, $3 or $4, $5 maybe. So it's important for us to claim those promises and to know what our promises are. So he says, we've been given this great inheritance of all things that pertain to life and godliness, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. So we need to know that those great and precious promises are how we partake in that divine nature. That's how we partake, is to know the promises, to know the promises. That's how you would partake. If you were given something new, well, you got to know the promises and say, okay, where I want that. I want to let that be released to me now. Are you with me? And then finally, he tells us, to remember these things Peter says, I'm going to make you remember. I'm going to remind you. I think it's meet. I think it's appropriate that I keep reminding you that you have an inheritance, putting you in remembrance. Yeah, I think it's appropriate. Verse 13, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And so what I want to do today is to stir you up. And so I'm going to be praying for people today. And I'm going to stir you up and get us ready for next week when we launch into this conference. And so I will put in my breath mint. Because there's more than one kind of superpower, and sometimes it's people's breath. And every time we have a leaders meeting, I talk about watching your breath. And some of the leaders listen.
Thank you for tuning in today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our weekend services. We are located at 34500 Bob Hope Drive in Rancho Mirage, California. Our services are on Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Please check out our website for more information at www.victorychristian.org. And for the most up-to-date, exciting events that are taking place at Victory. We pray that you would prosper in every way and be in health just as your soul prospers. You are victorious.